This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
We are on the other side of the primary. Hail Mary, saints be praised.
Yeah, we made it through. We can wipe the brow, take a deep breath of beautiful fresh air for at least today, and start looking towards the future.
Yes, indeed. And that's kind of, I think, where we want to focus today. We were, you know, you and I were chatting last night and we're sending, dropping things in, and it was like, oh, and ooh, and So it was a little bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
All night. I was watching, you know, primary results from all over the place. And I'm just kind of feeling, you know what? You get what you vote for. So okie doke, the voters have spoken. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But at this point, I'm kind of like, eh, okay.
Yeah. The voters have spoken, or the lack of voters have spoken. One of those two options.
That is, and let's pivot a little bit. First of all, the total numbers. I've got the Oregon Secretary, OregonVotes.org up. There are actually 229 registered voters, 229,000. Is that right?
Maybe.
Is that in Marion County?
I think that's Marion County.
Yes, that's Marion County. 53,000 were turned in. That's a 23.2% return rate. That's pathetic. We can just say that. That's pitiful.
I think it's one of the lowest in the state, you know, because gosh darn it, 75%+ of today's registered voters in this county, it's just not worth their time to be a part of things.
Do you think we're going to see them with their, you know, their little angry fingers posting all over X and all over social media?
I'm
saying a lot. Go ahead.
I'm sure we'll get some of that because, you know, everybody's got to have an opinion, even if they don't participate.
I'm seeing, and we'll probably talk about this later, I'm seeing a lot of people, there's still a lot of confusion. And I really, this is where the county parties, the county parties and the state party comes in as far as educating people about your registration. Oregon is closed primary. You have to be registered in a party. I saw so many people saying, why did I get, I've always voted Republican. And when somebody did a deep dive on that individual, yeah, in the general, you've never voted in a primary. But this one kind of got a lot of people wanting to go because there were, you know, you had really four strong candidates in there that there were factions and it was, you know, it was drama and we had Texgate and all this stuff. And a lot of people wanted to chime in, didn't realize that you're not registered in a party. You can't chime in. So there's a lot of educational opportunities here moving forward. And I really hope to see the county parties and the state party step up that way and educate folks on, you know, you got to be registered and kind of what the mechanics of a primary are.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a disappointing aspect of all of this is that a lot of people waited till the last minute before even opening their ballots to realize that they weren't registered to a party. And at that point, it's way too late.
And I
understand it. I you know, we got a kind of a jump in the party registration over the Trump, you know, primaries, but that's obviously all gone away. And whether it's a system error, but with system errors, you got to go and you got to look on day one. And then you have a gripe if something has changed from the last time around. You don't get the gripe at the 11th hour.
Yeah, there's kind of no. Ignorance isn't bliss. You need to know on that. So let's start at the top. I think a lot of people have been following this as well. Obviously, Tina Kotek handily went through. There were a bunch of people. How many candidates were there?
I think there was nine or ten.
Nine.
And yeah.
Can I just make a general comment here, especially for the Republican side? You want to run for office? Don't start at governor, please. Maybe start at school board, city council, maybe a parks board. I am done with these people going from zero to 60, cluttering up the landscape. I'm not going to name names, but you know who you are, and I'm looking at them now. People who came in at 0.17%, 0.38%, 0.13%. Stop it.
Well, I just sit here and go, yeah, Tina Kotek overwhelmingly beat her field. I think the closest runner-up was write-ins around 3%. So,
you're right.
Yeah. So virtually, I mean, that's literally what I was watching last night. I think they have write-ins at 3%. Then one of them was at 2.75 and another one at 2.4 or something. And I'm going, when that's your top three competitors to the incumbent, yeah, you're not really getting anywhere in change there.
No, no. And then so, you know, over on the Republican side, obviously we had the four. Christine Drazen is pretty handily winning the nomination at 41.9%. Coming in second to her is Representative, former HD 17 Representative Ed Deal, coming in at 32.76, followed by Chris Dudley at 16.23. That was a bit of a surprise that he kind of got smoked. We're looking at Christine Drazen with 142. This is again, no, this is statewide.
Yep.
This is statewide. She's looking at 142,000 votes. Ed Deal at 111. Chris Dudley at 55,000. Then following that up, David Medina coming in at third with 4.77 with 16,000 votes. And then Daniel Bethel coming in fifth. 2.16 with 7,356 votes. Mm-hmm. So it's Drazen. She is the nominee. So congratulations to Christine Drazen.
Yeah, we look forward to reaching out and seeing about talking to her. Is this as the road to November continues? I think at this point we need to get behind her. We need to support her, whether it's financially or in keeping her name at the top of the list, right?
I have a very, very wise friend named Jeff who posted something and it's being shared over, and I want to share this. I think a lot of people feel this way, and I think it should be kind of, I think the mantra should be remember in November. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to quote from him. The primary is over. My first choice wasn't the winner, and neither was many of yours. Here's the deal. This vote right here, Measure 120, which was absolutely obliterated, blown out of the water. I think 4 out of 5 Oregonians said not just no, but hell no. Measure 120 should be representative of the vote coming come November in the general election if all Oregonians don't forget. That's the problem. Short attention span theater. Back to Jeff's comments. Remember and help others remember. He goes all caps here. This was all from your current governor, Tina Kotek, and the Democrat supermajority in the House and the Senate. Christine Drazen has my vote in November, and unless you forget where this awful tax that you killed by a referendum came from, you will vote for her too. Save this, share it often to keep the memory fresh in every Oregonian's mind. Tax equals Kotek. The answer is no. Tina Kotek must go.
Yeah, well,
that perfectly sums it up.
Well, I sit here and I go, you know, I look at the way 120 went down in massive flames. Both sides of the aisle agreed on it. There was definitely no partisanship when it came to not wanting to be taxed.
Yeah.
But I sit here and go, and it's the remembering and the reminding and the short attention span, like you said, is where it worries me, because I sit here and I go, I haven't seen a potential tax fail this bad since the Salem City payroll tax was put to the voters and failed even worse, and they've already forgotten.
They've already forgotten because one of the people who pushed it, yes, okay, she had a no vote initially, but she came back, was Councillor Vanessa Nordyke, who, Salem, meet your new mayor.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and I just sitting there going, and you know, I'm not, it's a nonpartisan race, but now that it's over, I'm seeing a whole lot of partisan posts on the victory side of this. So I'm kind of going, it's that partisan side that tried to get that payroll tax on us, and we didn't remember. Let's remember come November.
Exactly, exactly. And that's going to be, I'm going to have that, I don't have any tattoos, so I'm not tattooing that on myself, but
tattoo it
maybe
on
a
your,
temporary tattoo.
Tattoo it onto your social media pages, I guess,
there
might be the
go.
Way to go.
There you go. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll break down what happened in the city of Salem, a little bit of Marion County as well. You are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
All righty. Okay. Kind of pulling the focus in a little closer to home over here. Salem City Council races were yesterday as well. Again, those are always decided unless somebody is so close, and it didn't happen this time. It was pretty much pretty decisive. What's really disappointing is the breakdown in the numbers. So few people voted. Mm-hmm. And so now the majority, the entire city has had that choice. Just look at the third bridge. You had 5 people who were voted in with very small numbers, making a decision that affects the entire region. And dare I say, it has not affected it in the positive. So here we are. Salem, you have a new mayor. Salem City Councilor Vanessa Nordyke, she's got a pretty commanding lead. As of 5 a.m. on Wednesday, she is leading incumbent Mayor Julie Hoy 56-44. 13,000 votes to Hoy's 10,000 votes. Again, how big is Salem again? 168,000, what, maybe? 170,000?
And this is coming down to less than 25,000 of those people.
Yep. Obviously, 50% plus one will do the winner, and Nordyke is currently above that threshold. Shout out to our friends at SalemBusinessJournal.org for this breakdown of the numbers. Thank you. Saved me having to go do it. Because I was all over it. I mean, I've been all over it all night and everything and following it all. The makeup of the city council is sort of changing. The only candidate from the conservative side, I guess, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. that is in the lead is Ward 6 challenger Betsy Vega, who is leading incumbent Mai Vang by about 6 points. So, you know, nothing certified. All kinds of things can change. In Ward 8, incumbent Mickey Varney is just a little bit ahead of challenger Chris Cummings. 41 ballots are separating those two. 41.
Mm. 41.
41. 41. In Ward 4, challenger David Inbody is leading incumbent Deanna Gwynn. I believe I did see a concession post from her on Facebook this morning, so she has conceded in that race. And then this one, Ward 2. Mm. Current council president Linda Nishioka is leading challenger Manny Martinez by roughly 30 points. Again, 30 points. Typically, those initial results tend to stick.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of change as subsequent counts come in. So here you go, Salem. There you go.
Especially change in the direction that we would like the change to come.
Right.
You never
right.
see.
And I believe, Manny has conceded mm-hmm. with a very lovely, both Deanna and Manny mm-hmm. have put out very gracious speeches, or not speeches, posts, conceding their races. Manny's not going anywhere. They mm-hmm. will stay active, as will Deanna Gwynn. So kudos to them for running very fine races. Manny especially ran a really great race.
Yeah, well, he opened up the conversation that has been hiding for our city council.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything positive comes out of his race, that will be it. Is now such a focal point has been put on the homeless crisis that if the current or the upcoming city council doesn't make this a part of their agenda to fix, that will become a major issue for the voters.
He did shine a really bright white hot spotlight. And I did notice in subsequent posts, again, unless you live in the ward, you didn't see them on your doorstep. Most likely, it did change the way that that Councillor Nishioka was approaching it as well, mm-hmm. as far as in the language of accountability and things like that. So that's a positive. What I like about these candidates at this level is they're not going anywhere. This is mm-hmm. the city that they love. That's why they stepped up to run these races. These are volunteer positions. And Salem Dems, they're not partisan. So you didn't flip anything red to blue. Well, maybe you did. I don't know. But they're technically not partisan.
Well, and the sad part
is... Well, we all know better, I guess.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is I'm seeing a lot of these posts from progressive groups and liberal groups, celebrating a red-to-blue flip for the city of Salem, and I go, but you were already blue. Our mayor is not a powerful mayor. They are a vote on the council, for the most part, in a figurehead, and you already had the majority, and unfortunately you've just extended that majority on our Salem City Council.
Right, but now it's
time to be accountable for that and, represent all of Salem instead of just these liberal groups that are so excited that they got the progressives sitting in their seats.
And that's the thing. And so you have to look at how Salem was led under former Mayor Chris Hoy. And a lot of people were unhappy with that, and that's why the pendulum swung and you got Mayor Julie Hoy.
Yeah.
And so she had one term to make the case. And that's really where it's at. So, but what I'm seeing coming from Nordyke is more of the same policies that were under Chris Hoy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that is what Salem wanted. Were you happy with that? I thought everybody was upset with that and didn't like the way it was going, saw the trends. But they decided they kind of want that again, and then they want to have the majority of the council be of that same mindset and that same ideology. So, here you go.
Well, I just sit here and go, I expect I will no longer see very many posts about complaining about traffic going over the bridge. I expect I will not see too many complaints about the homeless crisis being an issue. Maybe a lack of police officers. I these are all things that we shouldn't be seeing now. Salem has, 25% of Salem has spoken. and said this is the direction they want the city to go.
Well, and the other thing, too, I was seeing a lot of messaging out there that businesses were the enemy and everybody was upset that the chamber backed the Marion Polk First Slate, backed the current mayor. You had the Salem Police Employees Union and the firefighters backing this slate as well. So there seemed to be, you know, sort of a concerted effort to kind of point the finger at businesses as the cause of all problems, when really looking at it, it's like you need businesses. If, depending on how this all falls out, we've seen enough of this of people that call themselves progressive, how they govern.
Yep.
I don't think anybody's going to be surprised when she governs how she's said she's going to govern.
Yeah, well, and that's the frustrating part, is they aren't pointing at the Walmarts and the Targets and the Safeway and the Krogers and the Fred Meyers. They're not pointing at the big business. They're pointing at the small businesses, the local businesses, the backbone of our economy, as the bad guys sitting there saying business supports them. Big business doesn't. These are little businesses. Big business doesn't chime in on a city council race.
No, they don't. So again, this comes down to policies, and this is a choice. And so Salem voters have made a choice. Granted, like you said, most of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that, honestly, that's on you. If you didn't vote, what the hell's wrong with you? Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know if there's anything that can be done to get you off the couch and get you motivated to vote at this point. These are the local elections. These what make the daily life. And I sit here and I go, and we already know how the game plan is going to be run, whether it's the city level, the county level, or the state level. It's going to be, well, it's a Trump policy, obviously, that's making things so bad here locally. No, it's not. It is literally the local politicians, the local policy, and the local voters that create the scenario we are living in. Gas prices aren't $4-5+ in the majority of the states of the union, only in this one.
And this one, and Oregon has some of the highest taxes. It would be nice to see Christine Drazen as the nominee to basically call for suspending the state gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
That would rally a lot of people behind her, and that also would dovetail in and then go quite nicely with Remember in November and hanging that big, giant, fat tax around Tina Kotek's neck. Anyway, incoming Mayor Nordyke, Councilor Nordyke, she ran on increasing the housing supply and protecting renters. Well, we've seen how that plays out in other cities as well. Emphasizing affordable housing, using city-owned land, and expectations for developers, which means, again, it's going to cost more to build because there's more rules, more regulations before any shovel hits dirt.
Well, in the mentality of protecting the renters, the state of Oregon overly protects renters as it is right now. Between squatters' rights and renters' rights and everything else, it is already a state where you probably don't want to own a rental property. And I just sit here going, so we're just going to double down on those things that have shown to be bad for local people here in Oregon.
Again, this is what Salem voted for. You also voted for, she's been a public supporter of the REACH program, which is a mobile crisis team co-funded by the city and Marion County. I think that's had some successes, and hopefully that partnership that was established and strengthened under Mayor Julie Hoy stays intact and is further strengthened, but we'll see on that. Whether REACH moves forward from a pilot to permanent and how it's funded will shape how the city responds to 911 calls. And then, of course, public safety. Everybody has talked about the conservative slate wanted more police staffing and emphasizing that in traditional enforcement. And the progressive side wanted a combination of sworn officers, behavioral health responses, code enforcement, and outreach. So, you'll probably find out. Well, obviously, it's the individual isn't sworn. These individuals aren't sworn in until next year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So yeah. Well, and we'll see how things go, because I'm sitting here. So many programs we've seen come up in the last year or two, especially in terms of the police presence being part of that outreach. I don't see that being a long term under new leadership. I think that's going to kind of go away, and we're going to replace it with counselors and, you know, huggy bears.
Well, again, there's more than enough evidence for how cities that are governed this way fare.
Yep.
You don't have to look much further than about an hour up I-5.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah,
there's your example.
Portland's a great example. And of course, yesterday we spent at least a whole segment talking about, you know, the progressive socialism that's going on up in Seattle and New York and these blue cities that are slowly deteriorating. We don't even talk about, you know, Oakland and San Francisco and all the challenges in those places. And I just sit here and go, you know, we have the opportunity. the opportunity's all we get. You know, we're an equal opportunity place. And when 75% of people can't be bothered to get those ballots turned in, we get what we get. And I guess don't get to throw a fit.
Yeah. And I kind of woke up this morning kind of like, okay.
Okay.
Okay. If you couldn't be bothered, okay. Yeah. I mean, frankly, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
I can't care more than you do.
No. And that's the thing. We're just two voices here in a city of over 100,000 people. We can't. We can rant and rave and tell people, get out and vote, get out and vote. Don't lose your ballot. Keep it. Check it. Double check it.
I have to say, I got a shout out to a number of our friends who do have very busy lives and realized yesterday that oh, crap, it's on the counter. And God bless them. They got up. I know one friend. I won't mention her name, but we know her and love her. I didn't want to get up off the couch. I was tired. She did.
Mm-hmm.
And she got that ballot turned in. And I had a number of other friends who were like, wow, crap, I got to get this in. And they did.
Yep.
And that's what it takes.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, and that's the thing. I was watching the news this morning and seeing the reports of numbers of people to, you know, in Portland area and in Salem showing up at the ballots at 8:05, 8:15 and being turned away. And it's kind of like you had 3 weeks to get these ballots done and turned in at any point. Nothing was stopping you, and waiting doesn't help.
And to check your registration and all the details and to make sure everything was all good to go. Yeah. All right. Well, we are coming up on the bottom of the hour. There is so much more to talk about. Mm-hmm. So many things happened yesterday. So, turnout. Turnout. That's the thing that's chapping my lips.
It's why the Democrats love the primaries in Oregon.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take that break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, I keep coming back to that 32% turnout rate. I mean, you cannot make any changes if you don't even bother. And Oregon makes it so easy to vote. They mail the ballot to you. You sit in your underwear at your kitchen table, fill in the bubbles, take it in at your leisure and bring it in. And still, 32% turnout. And it's like, I got to say, I'm sorry. There was a lot. You saw a lot of candidates who had a lot of traction out on social media, especially X. That's not real life.
No.
How many times do we need to see that to know that that does not? Because you have a great campaign out on X or Facebook. Really, Facebook isn't kind of a thing anymore. It does not translate. And so that's why I was really encouraged when you heard about all the number of doors being knocked. Mm-hmm. But apparently that didn't translate either.
Yeah.
What's going on? Is it just apathy again?
I don't know. I always sit here and I go, it's one of the unmentioned downsides of mail-in voting. It's so easy to grab that ballot, put it in a stack. You know, I got 3 weeks to do this. I'll get to it eventually. Set it in a stack, and then it gets thrown in the recycling or just forgotten about completely.
Forgotten.
And I sit here and go, that's kind of the downside, and I understand it. May is a very different month than November is.
Right.
The sun is shining. Kids are down to the last month or so of school. Life is busy. You're getting spring cleaning out of the way. You're getting ready for camping Memorial Day weekend, whatever the scenario is. There's so many distractions in the month of May when we're in primary season compared to November. So I can understand that mentality, but that's the unwritten complaint I have with the mail-in ballots. Is it allows people the opportunity to forget or to not think about it or to postpone or whatever. And imagine this. I mean, you know, you get it at the beginning of the month, you put it in your stack, you end up throwing stuff away. Now I need a replacement ballot. Well, you're too late when you think about it. It's 5 o'clock on election day.
Yeah. And then even, you know, trying to get people to turn it in a little bit early because if there's a signature issue, because those things have to match and those are looked at by human eyes. And so, they are looked at. And again, we have a friend of the show who is down there and who was really trying to come in, and she would chime in everywhere she saw somebody saying, well, like I mentioned earlier on the first half of the show, this individual was like, why did I get a nonpartisan ballot? And it's like, because you never vote in the primary. You're not registered Republican. You may vote Republican, mm-hmm. but you're not registered Republican. And again, these are golden opportunities for engagement, for education. And again, in Oregon, in the Oregon PC, precinct committee man and committee woman, there are multiple slots open, and they always are so woefully unfilled. I mean, embarrassingly mm-hmm. underfilled. There are so many slots for people to engage, but they need to be enticed or asked or courted or wooed. And they're not really.
No. And I, there's so many frustrating aspects about our primary election process here in this state. And I sit here and go, and to me, in the primary, the excuse of, well, it's rigged anyway.
Oh,
doesn't
so
fit
that.
Because why waste your time rigging a primary when, you know, the Republicans are going to vote for the Republicans and the Democrats are going to vote for the Democrats? There's no point. They're not doing any nefarious. There's no ring running around trying to get people to vote for Tina Kotek in the primary season.
And that just doesn't happen in heavily blue states. You know where that does happen? That happens in red states. And mm-hmm. that's especially if you've got an open primary in that where you, and you've talked about your grandfather doing this too, mm-hmm. where my guy in the Democrat side's a shoe and I'm going to switch over here. Or if it's an open primary, but I'm going to vote and we're going to vote. That happens in Idaho, frankly, yep. because you've got an incumbent Republican governor right here who's not all that popular. And there was a challenger in Old State Saloon, and you had a lot of Democrats voting for Little because he's easier to push. So mm-hmm. what I just described that's happening in Idaho doesn't happen in Oregon.
No.
And so, yes, are there weird things and anomalies and things like mistakes that are made? Sure. But this narrative, and frankly, the narrative is being pushed out by people that should know better.
Yep.
And I thought you'd think are on our side, but it has really kind of chilled some of the voter base, especially with Republicans. And it's always a challenge to get Republicans motivated, because when you are a Republican in a red state, you're pretty rock solid. But after a while, after so many cycles, you're like, why? And then you look at these low voter turnouts. So I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. I don't appreciate it. I don't approve of it. I don't share that concern, but I understand it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is you can feel whatever way you want, but at this point, when we're looking at statewide 32% and yeah. locally 23% turnout, there's not an excuse. And whether that is a party issue that they won the education side of it, two, it's the motivation side of it.
Right.
And I'm sitting here going, yes, Oregon is a blue state, but all but four or five counties are actually pretty red. So where is the state and the local party aspect encouraging people to vote and getting people out there and educating people on what's going on? Because I don't see any of that going on in Oregon.
Yeah, and the fact that the narrative, you've got people shaking their fists all the way up at the Trump administration, and of course you've got Kotek, who mentioned Trump six times in her voters pamphlet statement. This ain't Trump, people. Mm-hmm. This is who's sitting in your city councils, who your mayors are, who your county commissioners are. It's not Trump.
No. No, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, a mega conservative in the state of Oregon running for office is extremely few and far between. I have yet to see one. I mean, we've seen some very conservative people that have served at different levels, been a part of administrations, this and that, and I go, they're not even as red as I would like them to be, you know, for the most part. So they're definitely not MAGA, because I'm not MAGA, but I'm probably farther right than a lot of these people are.
Yeah, and that's always been the mantra. And somebody who is very strong conservative, you know, we've always sort of run these milquetoasty Republicans, these center, and they don't even win, so how about we try a super conservative? And I don't know. Oregon is a weird animal. It's just weird. All the West Coast states are so heavily entrenched blue. I don't know. And I think a lot of people are going to be making a lot of very serious decisions based on the outcome. Maybe in the Salem area, we talked about businesses and families and things like that, because there are policy preferences and choices that are going to be put in place come January 2027 that you may or may not like. Mm-hmm. And businesses, no matter what, are the backbone of any community.
Yeah, especially those small businesses, which have been to a certain extent vilified. Public services, police, fire have been to a certain extent vilified. And I just sit here and go, we need to support the small businesses. We need to support the emergency responders if we want a thriving community. And, you know, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I'm not holding my breath at this point.
Well, and the other thing, too, a lot of things that sort of that are outside of the control, well, they kind of are, but we're on the I-5 freeway system here, which is a major drug superhighway. Mm-hmm. So those drugs are continuing to come in. We know we had, what, Sinaloa cartel guy right in Salem that was busted. Those things still exist. So now you've just got a different mindset, a progressive whatever mindset, looking at how they think the problem should be fixed. Again, I invite you to look at other cities that are run by this ideology. Does that work there? What makes you think it's going to work here?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, you mentioned the drug trade, right, you know, going right through the heart of Salem, you know, throw in the sex trade, you know, mentality, and human trafficking. All of these things are massive problems, you know, throughout Oregon, simply because we are such a thoroughfare to other large communities, and we have such liberal policies that allow these things to kind of go unfeathered and unchecked.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say to that other than good luck. I'm seeing a lot of so sad faces. Mm-hmm. And these are from people that voted. I don't know. You know, somebody was like, where's rock bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it doesn't exist.
Well, my response would be, you know, that massive earthquake and just put Oregon underwater. At least maybe that way it's rock bottom, I guess. I don't know. Where do you see it? But
I don't know.
But I also go just, you know, nationwide, blue cities everywhere. Where do you find rock bottom? Because every time you think they've got there, they take one step farther, which is why we need to really get behind the Republican candidate here and make sure that we aren't, you know, hung the noose of four more years of Tina Kotek.
Yeah, Oregon can't sustain that. No. You're going to, like I said, that drat sucking sound is going to happen real fast if she wins again. And the other thing I don't want to see, I do not want to see any third party candidates. If you did not win in your primary, you support the nominee. We heard, how many times did we hear? Unity. Put your money where your damn mouth is.
Yeah.
And you get behind Christine Drazen.
Yeah.
And you do everything you can. If you have left for campaign money, I'd say funnel it that way, because this is going to be an expensive race.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, watching the news this morning. You know, they made a big deal about this is the rematch of Christine Drazen and Tina Kotek from 4 years ago. Without the third party candidate, I go, well, yet.
Yeah.
There's still a ways till November. And, you know, there's candidates out there that maybe they feel the sour grapes. And I've already seen people sitting there saying, write in campaigns, this and that. And I'm just going, no. If you want the status quo, you want a virtual vote for Kotek without putting Kotek's name on your ballot, that's your third party. That's your write-in vote. You know, we got to get Drazen elected at this point, because at least give it a shot. Let's try and change something. And even if she can't acquire anything, she can't do anything, she still has, you know, a majority working against her in that marble building downtown. At least she has the ability to put the brakes on. And I sit there, I was talking with Jeff this morning. I said, you know, right now we are on a downhill trajectory in a loaded train, and we're not even pressing the brakes right now. Mm-hmm. At least if we can put a Republican in the governor's office, we can start pressing on those brakes a little bit.
Little tap, tap. The brakes. Little tap, tap. And remember, Kotex tax equals Kotek. This needs to be hung around her neck. And I think Christine Drazen needs to, every issue, always bring it back to that. Mm-hmm. Bring it back to that tax. Bring it back every time. That's got to be the messaging.
Well, and we can always go to, you know, the old faithful of, you know, the abortion issue, and realize that even if Drazen were to win, and virtually every Republican running for this in this cycle right now wins, we're still not at a point where we can change abortion laws in the state of Oregon. So that needs to be made a non-issue really, really fast. And I hope the first time that Drazen is asked about the abortion issue, whether it's a debate or a forum or just an interview, she pretty much flips it on ahead and said, you know what, there's nothing I can do about abortion in this state. It is codified into law. And even in a perfect world where Republicans won across the board, we still wouldn't have enough to change that law.
And let's talk about that tax.
That's right.
She needs to get sick of saying that. And people that are out there, and everybody needs to get behind her. And voters, if your guy didn't win, lick your wounds today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. Feel bad. Totally get it. Totally get it. I supported somebody else.
Yep.
My person didn't win. But I have seen a couple of the candidates have come out and made concession speeches, and they have publicly stated that they will support that candidate. I want to see that from everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be really, really ticked off if I see a write-in or anything like that or a third-party run. And I'm looking at some people, some of those that came in at 0.38%.
Yeah.
Enough already. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. Quit wasting the time.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with, there were some other results in some primaries, some surprises, some not. All in all, it was a very interesting day all across the great state of Oregon. So we're going to take that break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Well, there's the prescription. If your candidate didn't come in, go get yourselves a gabagool over at Cozy's. Maybe get a little cannoli and, you know, drown your sorrows in an Italian soda and enjoy yourself. Take a day.
That may be a good bit of advice right there.
A gabagool makes everything better. Mm-hmm. So does cannoli. Mm. Mm-hmm. All right. So we were looking at some other races. Polk County, you have the Polk County numbers.
I do. Polk County Commissioner Position 2, John Swanson's got 61% of the vote, so fairly confident in declaring he's the winner. In Polk County Commissioner Position 3, Jeremy Gordon currently has the lead at about 46% of the vote, but the other three contenders are still in the teens in their vote tally. So I think he's going to take that one.
Commissioner Gordon, which I always laughed at. Mm-hmm. He's a Batman character. Commissioner Gordon. We chatted with him. He's fine. He's the incumbent. So looking at some other races in the area, State Senator of the 11th District, which is Kim Thatcher's seat. Mm-hmm. On the Democrat side, Teresa Alonzo Leon went up against Virginia Stapleton, former Salem City Councilor. It looks like Stapleton is going to be going up against Tracy Kramer in the fall, who has the Republican nomination for that. Representative for, let's see, House District, let's see, 17, HD 17. It looks like Dan Farrington is coming out on top of that one. Mm-hmm. Beth Jones is running a second for that. And then 18, gosh. And I'm looking at Marion County numbers, and I don't know how the woman who ended up winning that is Amanda Staley. There were a number of people running in that race. And so it looks like she's coming out on top of that. What other races? Gosh, Kevin Mannix came out on top in his.
Well, there were a couple of Polk County, the Rural Fire Protection District local option levy for fire and emergency services. And Sheridan Rural Fire Protection District 5-year local option levy out in Polk County, and both of those failed.
See, levy, a lot of people are kind of, I don't have any money left to give you. Maybe, get rid of the gas tax. There's another thing I want to mention, too. I'm looking at HD 19 right now, which the seat is currently. It had been held by a Republican for a long time. It got flipped. Tom Anderson, former Salem City Councilor, won the Democrat nominee. You're looking at about 1,000 votes more than the Republican nominee for that, who is Anna Munson. And that's what you need to think about going forward now, because the registration numbers for Democrats versus Republicans in Marion County and statewide, there's obviously more Democrats. NABs are the biggest block, though. And so you have to see a real shift in that. You've got to win the NABs. The Republicans have got to get the NABs, the disaffected. You've got to start hanging these policies on Democrats' necks. Mm-hmm. It's the Democrats. They've run this state for 40 years. And it's got to be a constant message. You've got to get sick of saying it. Feel like you've said it a million times and say it a million times more.
Yeah, well, and of course, you need to convince the NAVs and make them realize that who's been really running things for 40 years in Oregon. And
it's Donald Trump.
It's not the president for the last year. Okay, let's put it that way. And at the same time, the Republicans and registered Republicans need to recognize that we are not going to make any change if you don't get out and cast your ballot. So that needs to be the base. This is the Republicans need to be the baseline. And instead, they're the challenge. And I'm just going, let's just get out. Let's make that baseline nice and strong. And then we can bring in the other people to make, to vote the right way.
How can you make any changes if you don't cast your vote in the voice of, how can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? Mm-hmm. Come on. Yep. We know how to do this. It happens in other states. Florida, you look at other red states that have done this. It can be done. Can it be done? Yes. Yes, it can be done. I'm optimistic. Yes. Well, still maintain hope.
Well, and that's the thing. Historically, across this nation, there were states that were once blue and are now red and vice versa. So, yes, it can be, but it takes the effort and it takes the people getting out there and doing what needs to be done and casting those ballots and being a part of the process instead of sitting back saying, oh, well, we don't need the oh, wells anymore. We need action.
And it really is a binary choice. I want to shift gears real quick to the Marion County Commissioner races as well. There were Democrat challengers for position one and position two. And in that case, you've got the opposite of the other, where you've got the Republicans, the incumbents, Cameron and Willis, that have about 2,000 votes, mm-hmm. more than the Democrat challengers. So that right now looks pretty good for retaining those seats. Again, anything can change, and the NAVs are the wild card.
Yeah, well, and of course, at the federal level, we have one of our senators, Mr. Jeff Merkley, up for re-election. And of course, he overwhelmingly won his primary. And right now, currently, it looks like David Brocksmith has about a 2-point lead over Joe Ray Perkins for the Republican nomination on that side.
And that goes, and everybody is probably familiar with that name. She's been running for a long time. And it just shows even when you lose races, you still have name recognition. So, but it looks like it is going to be Brock Smith. And then you have people, again, complaining about that. Again, this is your nominee. Get behind the nominee. Yeah,
you got to get behind your nominee and realize that they might not be your favorite person in the world. You might not want to go out and have a dinner and drinks with them. But if we want to get any change, even small steps in the right direction, change the trajectory of Oregon as a whole, we need to start getting behind him and just say, you know what? I'm going to vote for you because you're not as wacko crazy as the other side.
Right. The other side's insane. What have you got to lose? And the other side, you get somebody in office, and that's the argument that we've always had, especially even at the gubernatorial race. Well, I don't agree with some of this. Good. Go with the old 80-20 rule. You don't have to agree, but if you get your guy who's closer to you in there, you maybe have a seat at the table to try to persuade him otherwise. Well, if you don't, you're out in the cold looking in going, hi, steaming up the window from the outside while they're eating pancakes.
Well, that's the thing. How many people out here feel like any level of government is representing us at this moment? I mean, there's the challenge, and the only way is going to get rally behind these people. Get people that are actually willing to listen to the people behind you and not spending, you know, all their time in New York or somewhere else. Maybe we just need to get those people a seat at the table.
And we need a bunch of Spencer Pratts, frankly. We needed that. Take that. Take a lesson from that. Run your campaigns like that. Excite people. Go viral. Have viral moments. Be creative. Be bold.
Yeah. Well, be at the point where the mainstream media can't help but notice you.
Exactly.
Because that's where Republicans fail miserably. The media's working against us. The media's, yes, they are. But now if you create a moment where they have to focus on you and have to mention your name, you're winning in that battle.
Yep. Reject the premise all the time. Reframe it. Point out all the issues. Point out what everybody sees is wrong. And keep going, mm-hmm. and keep beating that message.
Yeah,
that's what I'd love to see. And then create a buzz and an excitement, and you make people want to get out there and participate in it. Because Oregon's worth saving.
Yeah, I'll come November.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, that's it for us today. If your guy didn't win, go get a gabagool. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.